The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, perhaps our gospel passages these days allow us to grow into Jesus' instruction, the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor. The kingdom of heaven is theirs, right? We read through this passage and we go, "Oh man, I'm in a lot of trouble." Yeah, do you do that? I do that, and I've got like nothing. I got a lot of stuff, so got a lot of possessions. Have I renounced them all? Well, this is the challenge for us, right? It's like, how much of what we have and who we are is oriented to Jesus, right? So, what do we have? Who are we that the organizing principle of our life is Jesus? This really is the challenge for us. Okay, I mean, we start with the instruction: whoever comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The teaching, of course, this is exhortation on the part of Jesus, right? What is he saying to them? This is the first bit of challenge for us, is that we see this as like classroom lecture stuff. So he's hanging out and we're like, okay, you know, he's got his life, we've got our lives, everything's pretty good, everything's stable, right? Everything's stable, everything's pretty good. And now he's kind of bringing this challenge. It's like, what does this mean? This is the first piece, is that Jesus is on the move, okay? So, and the reality is, everything is changing anyway. Yeah, I mean, the sense is, Jesus is at the head of God's renewal movement. There's a lot of action there. There's a lot of movement there. There's not a whole lot of sitting still and everything's pretty good there. Yeah? Look around, right? Look around you in the world. Are things pretty good? They might be pretty good with you, but they're not pretty good, are they? And does God not yearn for justice throughout the entire world? And will that justice, you say, come to bear simply as an act of, I don't know, divine magic or something, you know, like as a divine action, would say miracles, right? He's going to work miracles, miracles, miracles while I'm sitting on my couch, right? Is that what's going on? Okay, so this is the first challenge, is that there's a lot of dynamism in the movement. There's a lot that has to happen. And so as you get moving, you recognize that things have to be rearranged as we go. And the way that those things, that everything in our lives has to be arranged is around Jesus. So like I said, he's the organizing principle in our life. What does it mean? It means that we start with him and then everything follows on. Yeah? But that tends to not be the way that we settle into our life or the way that we live our comfortable, kind of relatively static, stable life. So we have to look to Jesus, understand that you know, we've been called into this great renewal movement of God with Jesus at the head, and it's ours then simply to trust and follow him. And what he's saying is, you can't put anything before me and expect to be part of this movement that is destined to transform the world. Yeah, nothing can come before Jesus. So yeah, is it a bit of hyperbole to say you have to hate this one, hate that? Of course, what do we get from the first reading? St. Paul, right? Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. You know, it's like, he didn't say hate one another, right? So this is not, when we follow Jesus, when he is our number one priority, and not just, I'd say, our organizing principle, but also our animating principle, in the sense that he's breathing his life into us so that we can organize our entire life around him, then we'll see that our life is nothing but love. Yeah? Our life is nothing but love. And we are then trusting and following him wherever he goes. Okay, so let me get into the passage as well. Constructing a tower. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down, calculate the cost to see if there's enough for completion? Otherwise, whatever, you'll get laughed at. Okay, this is the first piece. What is the tower being constructed? The tower being constructed at that time is the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah, but Jesus is already saying the temple is simply a monument to the corrupt leadership of the day. That's worthless. Okay? So we didn't do the calculation, right? We weren't, and we haven't given ourselves over to the plan and purpose of God there. So that whole thing, right? Great construction, the massive temple, beautiful, whatever. And you see that kind of praise lavished upon the temple, even in the gospel. You know, great, beautiful, big, all the rest. And Jesus says, yeah, nothing. He says, okay, beautiful, yep, not one stone upon another will be left. Yeah, the whole thing will be destroyed. Yeah? Okay, so this is number one. The other one is that, of course, the people are courting disaster because they want armed conflict with Rome. And I've heard echoes of this, by the way, in Palestine today. The idea is that if we just start, I'm not saying one side or another, okay? It's just a mess, okay? But I'm saying there are still people who say, we'll just go to battle, and even if it's 100 of us, we'll take on 1 million. Yeah? And Jesus is saying, you're going to be routed. Okay? Different groups, different people, whatever. But the idea is still the same. He's saying, what are you setting out in pursuit of? Whose battles are you fighting? Are you truly on the side of God, or are you trying to get God on your side? This is a very different reality. And the lesson is the same for us. Yeah, in both parts. One is to say, what monuments are we building? We can build monuments to God, right? Monuments to God look like lives of flourishing, right? Monuments to God look like people who are filled with hope. And we have the opportunity to build those monuments to God. We can love people into life and give them hope and strength and courage to face the day and all that. And what they need to get out and be great lovers of God themselves and lovers of the world themselves. We can do that. We can build those monuments, communities of love. So we can build the civilization of love. That's a monument to God. The rest, nonsense, that garbage. If it doesn't conduce to that mission, right? If it doesn't honor Jesus, if it's not part of that movement, that mission, it's garbage, okay? It's nothing. And the same here. What battles are we fighting, right? Whose battles are we fighting? We can put on, as St. Paul says, the armor of God. Yeah, we can go out in pursuit of the things of God. And we can look to defeat the world in the power of God. It just so happens to be that the power of God is self-giving love. Yeah, we follow a crucified king. This is the power of self-giving love that's going to renew the world. So we can go out and fight that battle, or we can take on some other battle. Again, it's just saying, are we really going to prioritize Jesus? Are we going to allow him to be the organizing principle in our life, right? Our whole life only makes sense when it's related to him. Are we going to allow him to be the animating principle? He's giving life to us so that we could be about his purposes in the world. That's what this passage is all about. Okay, I want to give just one little, it's not a little thing, but okay, it's to say again, St. Teresa of Avila, from, what does it say? From silly devotions and sour-faced saints good Lord, deliver us. Okay? Again, what are our devotions? What are our devotions? Because here, this passage is all a matter of devotion. It's all a matter of the ordering of loves. What do we love most? So we need to love Jesus most. And I say we need to, but we get to. He's called us into God's renewal movement that he is at the head of, right? He's called us to be members of his body, his own body. He's chosen us to be members of his own body. Do we love him? Are we devoted to him? And here, what we think and say and do, where our energy, our attention, and all the rest goes, is it directed first and foremost to Jesus? If it's not, it's misplaced, right? If it's not, it's something of a silly devotion, or a sillier devotion than the devotion to which we've been called, right? Our devotion is to be wholehearted to God, right? Wholehearted to Jesus. That's our call, and we get to live it in the power of the Spirit. So anything then that inflames our devotion, that inflames our love, or even gives voice to our love, gives voice to our devotion to Jesus, that's not a silly devotion. That's a serious, significant, substantial devotion. The stuff that is not of that kind, that's silly devotion. Right? I was saying on Saturday, any exchange of, say, material, right? This is the possessions part. Yeah, the very end of the passage, the possessions part. Every time I'm giving money, that's an act of devotion. So anytime I'm giving money, whether it's in exchange or it's giving, say more charity, whatever, that's an act of devotion. Because it's me giving my life, right? My time, my energy, the rest, whatever went into the making of that money, I'm giving that in service of this particular thing that I'm pursuing. And guess what? The devotion to comfort, pleasure, the rest, riches, whatever that looks like, as I'm in those exchanges, that's silly devotion. It's going to produce sour-faced saints or no saints at all. Yeah? If that devotion itself conduces to the glory of God and the flourishing of his creation, namely the enacting of the stewardship that he's entrusted to me to bring life and healing and hope to his creation, if it's participation in that devotion, then guess what? We have massive smiles on all the time. No, not all the time. But we are a joy-filled people, yeah, because we have participated in the most serious devotions, right? The devotions that conduce to love of God and love of neighbor as self. And so this is the challenge for us. Our whole life needs to be rewritten. We want to go out in pursuit of the agenda of God and build true monuments to him. But all the while we recognize it's ours simply to be animated and sustained by his own life of love that he pours out so generously, can I say, so recklessly for us, so that we might be able to bring his love to life no matter where he sends us.